God, from the meditation of our hearts, be always acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Be seated. The three readings for today all have to do with sin and forgiveness and coming back to God. Now, before we start, I'd like to do definitions again. In the gospel text, they talk about sin, and in the Greek it means falling short of the mark, which I think is an interesting understanding. We're not, you know, anytime we fall short of the mark, that will be interpreted as sin. And debt, the owed debt, is a delayed payment. So those of you who loan money, those of you who borrow money, understand these concepts quite well. But if we look at all three readings, in the first reading in Samuel, David has this illicit affair with the Hittite's wife, Bathsheba, and she becomes pregnant. And the Hittite comes home, but because he's only home on leave, and he's going back to fight for his king, he refuses to sleep with his wife. So then when he goes back to the front line, Bathsheba tells David what's happened. So David orders the Hittite to be put in the front line, therefore pretty much securing the fact he would be killed. That's the background story for Samuel. Now, if we look at the Ephesian story, Barnabas and Cephas are both Christians. They both know the Lord. They both understand that food, you know, that they can eat any food. They can eat with Gentiles. But suddenly you have a group of what they call the circumcised, which believe you have to become a Jew first before you can become a Christian. That group is pretty strong. And Cephas and Barnabas are affected by that. They are frightened. They suddenly become more rigid, and they stop eating with the Gentiles. They pull away. So this is what Paul is talking about when he said, once you come to Christ, you put aside the law. It's not the law that saves you. It's Jesus Christ and faith in Christ. So therefore, you're free to go out and you're free to love. Now that we come to our gospel text, one of the first people in it, of course, is Simon. Now, Simon is a Pharisee. He's a learned man. He's wise. He loves the Lord. He knows the law. And he's gracious to an extent. He's gracious because he wants Jesus to come and eat with him. He does invite him, but he invites other guests too. And for some reason, Simon is open. He calls Jesus teacher, and he wants to listen to what he has to say. But Simon is also a wise person, and he knows the law, and he does know social protocol. As many of you here do, probably all of you, you have a sense of decorum, you have a sense of order, and we're Episcopalians. If nothing else, we know order and decorum, and the way things should be done. All right, well, Simon, this is his home, and Jesus comes in, and for some fluke, like many of us have done, he forgot to show Jesus the honor that was due him. He forgot to wash his feet, or didn't. We don't know why. It's not really said why. We can speculate, but we don't know why. He did not kiss him. He did not greet him with a kiss. It may have been as simple as that there were too many people. Or it may have been more that he was distrustful of Jesus and felt pressure to invite him. But we don't know this. But what we do know is that the woman comes in, and she storms the palace, so to speak. Forget social protocol. Forget her place. Forget who is there. Forget what people say to her or about her. She has within her the compassion I talked about the other week, the very guttural feeling that comes from the inside out of love, this rushing and outpouring of love that cannot be contained. And she breaks through all these lines and barriers, anoints Jesus' head, kisses his feet, and washes his feet with her tears. It's interesting with this woman that she brings an alabaster jar. Now, alabaster was sort of a translucent material. It was very beautiful. It was delicate. Probably had designs on it. It was probably a very important jar. But inside this jar was the oil of healing, the oil of peace, the oil of being able to go forward. And what interests me most in this gospel is the jar. How many of us have beautiful things? When we have something of great treasure and great beauty, we protect it, don't we? We put it up somewhere. We put it somewhere where nobody can touch it. To me, I think this alabaster jar is probably an example of a lot of the ways in which we can often have the opportunity to treat our faith as something very private, something like Zion, something that we hold in reserve just for us and God. But if you notice in this text, and it's in all four Gospels, which means it's a very important scripture, but in all four Gospels, she pours the oil out, and one of them, she breaks the jar. And I love that image. I love that image. In order for the oil of healing to flow, the jar has to be unscrewed and maybe broken so that oil can flow. An oil of healing that never stops. A oil of healing that is with us today, tomorrow, forever. And in a way, the woman looks like she's the one with the greater sin. She's the one that maybe in the parable of the debtor who owed 500 denarii and her debt was canceled. While maybe it seems that Simon owed the 50 denarii and his debt was canceled. So therefore he loved less because he was forgiven less. And if we look at that, in a sense, her sins were pretty obvious, weren't they? She knew her sins. Everybody in town knew her sins. And she was able to acknowledge them and claim the healing and move forward. If we look at this text, she is forgiven before she asks to be forgiven. She is forgiven when she comes there, and it's because she knows she's forgiven that she reaches out in love. Our ability to have the flow of compassion, the ability to have this constantly come out of us, has to be that all the boxes that have cornered our faith have been broken open. All of the areas that we need to let go of and to give back to God and to confess of whatever had been done and the healing's there. But Simon is a more complicated person because he thinks he's living a good life. He's lived by the law. He's done everything he's supposed to do. So in a sense for Simon, Jesus loves Simon. He says, Simon, I have something I want to tell you when he tells this. Simon is the one with a very complicated personality, a very complicated understanding and relationship with this God. Because he has used his faith to judge other people. He has used his faith to find the woman guilty. He has used his faith and understanding of the law to find Jesus out of place. Simon does not know that he is the one that needs to realize God's forgiveness of him, so that he is no longer bound by law and protocol, but is free to experience the outgoing and outpouring of love that is also free to him and free to us. Amen.
Amen.